Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Got a story here sent to me by almost everybody, and I've seen several versions of the story out there. This is from Reason.com, and Joe Lancaster wrote it. Appeals court rules that cops can physically make you unlock your phone. So we've had a bunch of stories in the news about this. The police arrest somebody, they got a cell phone on them, it's locked. The police say, unlock your phone. Person goes, no. And you can make an argument, among other things, about the Fifth Amendment, perhaps, right? And, of course, the Fourth. But the question is, when you're talking about simply the act of pressing the thumb against the phone as the unlock method, is that a violation of your constitutional rights? And many people, I think, would say yes, because they're making you do something that could incriminate you. And so the Ninth Circuit determined that forcibly mashing a suspect's thumb into his phone to unlock it was akin to fingerprinting him at the police station. They say, well, you got the right to fingerprint somebody. What's the difference? We'll get there. As we keep more and more personal data on our phones, iPhone and Android devices now have some of the most advanced encryption technology in existence to keep the information safe from prying eyes. The easiest way around it, of course, is for someone to gain access to your phone. This week, a federal court decided that police officers can make you unlock your phone, even if it takes them physically forcing you to press your thumb against it. So you pull the old, can't get my thumb, they can pry your fingers apart and do it. In November of 2021, the man here was pulled over by two California Highway Patrol officers over his car's window tint. When asked, he admitted he was out on parole, which the officers then confirmed. After finding his cell phone in the car, officers unlocked it by forcibly pressing his thumb against it as he sat handcuffed. The officers claimed in their arrest report that he reluctantly unlocked the cell phone, but when asked, the man disputed that, and then the government later accepted in court that the defendant's thumbprint was compelled. So at first they said, well, he reluctantly did it, and of course that's a very mild way of describing reluctance. The officers searched through his camera roll and found a video taken the same day, which appeared to show several bags of blue pills, which they suspected to be illegal. After checking the phone's map and finding what they suspected to be a home address, the officers drove there and used his keys to enter and search the residence. Inside, they found and seized all kinds of stuff that was, in fact, illegal. But the question is, remember, he was pulled over for his window tint. And somehow they're searching his house now. So he was indicted for possession with intent to distribute. And in a motion to suppress, his attorneys argued that by forcing him to unlock his phone, the officers compelled a testimonial communication, violating both the Fourth Amendment's protection against unreasonable search and seizure and the Fifth Amendment's guarantee against self-incrimination. Even though the provisions of his parole required him to surrender any electronic devices and passcodes, failure to comply could result in arrest pending further investigation or confiscation of the device pending investigation, but not the use of force to make him open the phone. So that's how you get to the fact that they were allowed to look at his phone. Apparently, it's part of the provisions of his parole. The district court denied the motion to suppress. The man pleaded guilty, but they apparently preserved this issue on appeal. And in November of 2022, he was sentenced to 12 years in prison. Notably, he had only served 3 for the crime for which he's on parole, which was assault with a deadly weapon on a peace officer. So he appealed the denial of the motion to suppress, and this week, in an opinion, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth ruled against the man. Searches incident to arrest are an accepted part of Fourth Amendment precedent. Further, the judge wrote, as a parolee, this man has a significantly diminished expectation of privacy, even though the conditions of his parole did not require him to provide a biometric identifier. The distinction was insufficient to support throwing out the search altogether. But the judge went one step further, and I always have people asking when judges don't explain everything, why don't judges just simply, you know, lay out rules for the future? They're only supposed to rule on what's necessary in front of them. But here, the judge wrote, we hold that the compelled use of the man's thumb to unlock his phone, which he'd already identified for the officers, required no cognitive exertion, placing it firmly in the same category as a blood draw or fingerprint taken at booking. The act itself merely provided CHP with access to a source of potential information. However, You should note, the Supreme Court ruled in 2016 that police need a warrant before drawing a suspect's blood. And I've said this before, and this is one of those common sense arguments that transcends the law. If I was a judge, and I don't want to be a judge, but if I was a judge, and this case is in front of me, and the police officers are standing there prepared to testify, and their attorneys are there, everybody's there, I'd say, let me ask you a question. Why didn't you get a warrant? Was the man leaving the scene anytime soon? No, he was in custody. Was the phone leaving the scene anytime soon? No. Would the data on the phone disappear if you took the time to go get a warrant? No. Was the man's thumbprint going to change if you went and got a warrant? No. So knowing full well that there might be a fight about this later, you guys can do just a little more work and go get a warrant, and we wouldn't be here today. So for you guys to save a little bit of time the day you didn't get a warrant, we're going to waste days in court and then more days up on appeal. And you could have got a warrant, right? And why didn't you get a warrant? That's the question I've always asked. You know, I understand there are some situations that are unfolding so fast that you haven't got time. Here, they got the guy at the side of the road. They've got his phone. They've got his thumb, right? Go get a warrant. One can argue that fingerprinting a suspect as they're arrested is part and parcel with establishing their identity. Nearly half of U.S. states require people to identify themselves to police if asked. But forcibly gaining access to someone's phone provides more than just their identity. It's a window into their entire lives. Even cursory access to someone's phone can turn up travel history, banking information, call and text logs, a treasure trove of potentially incriminating information, all of which would otherwise require a warrant. And by the way, remember that there's portions of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that talk about things that have to do with privacy. You know, like the Quartering Act, the idea that the government could, in the old days, tell you, hey, you've got to open your house up and let some soldiers stay there for however long they need to. And of course, they did away with that because people found it very intrusive to have soldiers living in their home for however long. And so think of all the stuff that's in your phone. And that's probably the most intrusive that someone can get these days. Because in the old days, we thought, well, if someone stole my mail, they'd know a lot about me. Or if somebody broke into my house and broke into my safe, if I had a safe. Or they broke into my safe deposit box. That's where I keep my secrets. Nowadays, everything's on your phone. That's the one thing that's got the most private information on it for most people. I'm pretty sure that's true. When they drafted the Fourth Amendment, the founders drew on the history of writs of assistance, general warrants used by British authorities in the American colonies that allowed government agencies to enter homes at will and look for anything that was disallowed. As a result, the Fourth Amendment requires search warrants based on probable cause signed by a judge. Now, the judge does note the peculiar circumstances of the case. Our opinion should not be read to extend to all instances where a biometric is used to unlock an electronic device. But yet, the outcome may have been different had the officer required the man to independently select the finger that he placed on the phone instead of forcibly mashing his thumb into it himself. So the judge is basically saying, hey, look, there's this double secret back door he could have gotten out, but he didn't know that. So what you got here, pretty straightforward. Guy's got a cell phone. It's locked. Police want to look at that cell phone. And instead of going and getting a warrant, they literally grab his hand and stick his thumb and do it that way. And the court said, that's fine. That's fine. And by the way, I mean, another problem you got with that is, let's suppose that somebody's at the side of the road and they're actually able to put up a big fight where they will not let somebody push their thumb up against the phone. What do you do then? Do you tase the person to make them more cooperative? It seems to me that the warrant would be the way that you get around almost all of this. Now, some of you are going to say, but Steve, just because they got a piece of paper telling you to put your thumb on the phone doesn't mean you're going to. Oh, no, of course not. But at that point, you can be held in contempt of court. So if there's a court order saying, provide your thumbprint to unlock your phone, and you refuse, then the court can take a different remedy. But the question is, which do you prefer? Okay? Wrestling with somebody by the side of the road without a warrant, or showing somebody a warrant that says, unlock your phone or you face legal consequences in court. And I think that's the way that most people think this should go. So that's a story from Reason.com. Joe Lancaster wrote it. Appeals court rules that cops can physically make you unlock your phone against your will without a warrant. And I think it's wrong, but that's from the Ninth Circuit. We'll see what happens if it goes up any higher. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Better to have a single-sentence manifesto about your life which is fulfilled than to have 25 chapters theories about your vision that remain undone.